good evening, and welcome to... Is this going to be the final episode of the series, Rick? If so, Season 1, Episode 12 of the Prescott Motorsport Podcast. I, Harry, am joined by Rick, who...
Good evening.
...has just got back from Bahrain.
Whenever you're listening. Yep.
He's just got back from Bahrain. Rick, say hi to all 6 billion listeners.
Hello, billion listeners.
Six
Good
billion.
Evening or afternoon, wherever you're listening.
We
welcome.
Once again, it's just myself and Rick this evening, this morning, this afternoon, wherever you're wherever you're watching from. We did forget to invite Steve again.
It's starting to become a thing.
We must set ourselves a reminder to invite Steve because we must do that. So if you're listening, Steve, we do apologise. We have only just remembered that we haven't invited you. And Adam is probably editing some form of, I don't know, something.
Wedding photos,
yeah. So, yeah, good evening. Welcome to this show. And, yeah, let's get cracking. So, Rick, how was Bahrain?
It was nice. It wasn't as hot as last year. So it was excellent, actually. I really like Bahrain. So the weather was nice. It was last year it was 35, 36. This year it was 29, 30. So it was nice. I was actually too late for the rain. I was talking to one of the media shuttle drivers. And they have about 1 or 2 days of rain each year. And one of them was on FP1. Then I was in the plane. So I couldn't make it on Thursday. So I was only there Friday. And I missed the rain in the desert.
It really was quite a rainstorm, wasn't it?
It was all sunny all along. It was great. I love the country. I love the atmosphere there. It's really relaxed. And I really enjoyed myself again.
It was quite the rainstorm.
It was stormy in when I left from Amsterdam. And it was stormy the same time on the track, yeah.
Good. It was quite a good storm. It was a good storm.
Yeah.
I mean, it's bizarre as well seeing the cars going through rain in Bahrain. I've never seen.
I think it was actually the first moment of rain this season, wasn't it?
It rained at Le Mans, didn't it?
We didn't have rain in Sebring. We didn't have rain in Portimao.
It rained at Le Mans. It rained at Le Mans.
Yeah, that's true, but not at a place. But it was very local. It did rain at Le Mans, but I didn't feel a drop. It was raining, for example, in the Porsche curves, but in the pits it was still dry, which was really weird. But still, yeah, it did rain at Le Mans. It was moist at Spa, but I don't think it rained during the race. Did it? No, I don't think so.
Do you reckon it was raining in Steve's motorhome?
Yeah, but that was because of his motorhome. Might also have been tears.
We shan't laugh at that.
Yeah. No, it wasn't good. It wasn't good.
So,
successful trip. It was the first rainy session, really rainy session of the season. I wasn't at Fuji, so I don't know about Fuji, but.
All in all, though, a successful trip.
Yeah, it was lovely.
Good.
It's always nice to go to the sun when it gets stormy and cold in Amsterdam. So, yeah, it was great.
Good. And you have prepared a little race report of the first corner, because that's all you saw.
Yeah, that's unfortunately that took like all the tension that was left away, because that was already the decider. And I think, in my opinion, the eight already went into the first, got pole and went into the first corner first, so they were already clear. And then the seven was hit by the Cadillac and had to start from the back. So yeah, they recovered 2 seconds, but yeah, it was impossible to threaten the eight, especially on a track where the chance of a safety car isn't that big. So you don't have a safety car to gamble with. So yeah, I think it was decided after the first corner, but yeah. It was more interesting in LMP2 for a while. And of course in GTE, those were more interesting races than in hypercar. Especially as, I think Ferrari was a bit, they weren't really off the pace, but they were lacking a bit of form or something. Like they were beaten in qualifying by the Cadillac, who definitely, how do you say that in English? They profited from the BOP changes to the LMDH platform, I think.
Yep.
Because they were really on the pace. The car laid well on the track. It was. It looked good. It looked fast. It looked comfortable. And I think since Le Mans, Ferrari, they didn't develop any further. That's a bit the feeling I got from the second half of the season. Because ever since Sebring up to Le Mans, you saw them getting quicker and quicker and quicker. And then that's like it. That increase in performance kind of stopped after Le Mans, I think. You can't really get a finger behind it, what the reason behind that is. But something it's a feeling. I can't really argument about it, but yeah.
Probably the BOP, the fact that they changed the BOT so to make sure Ferrari won at Le Mans, and then changed the BOP again to make sure that Ferrari didn't win anywhere else. And before I get in trouble, let's move on from that point. Fun facts that we forgot to do, Rick. Fun fact. I have one, and you have one. I don't know what the music is for the fun facts, but if I can remember, I'll insert it here. So
no, I didn't. My fun fact wasn't that fun, so I didn't have a fun fact. You had a fun fact.
So this is,
and you're going to take me by surprise.
This is a fun fact. This. When a male honeybee reaches orgasm, his testicles explode and his penis gets ripped off.
In Bahrain, I'm afraid this is related to Bahrain.
Oh, no. We're not going anywhere, are we? So. We're not going anywhere. So this is, you see, this is just a random fun fact. That was the fun fact.
It's a random fun fact. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it is a fun fact. Painful as well, but.
I thought that was a very good fun fact. But sorry, yeah. We'll go back to the race. So the race was, let's be honest, it was quite boring.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't really get the chance to follow it, so I intended to ask you about the race. So because it was a bit hard, it's always a bit hard to follow it closely while on track. So how was the race, Harry?
It was boring. It was incredibly boring. There was a couple of moments where the only real notable incidents, we had the first corner where Bamba locked up, went into the back of the 7th Toyota, spun the Toyota.
Took all the tension that was left out of the race.
Took all the tension that was left out of the race. Spun the Toyota. The United Autosport cars went off the track, came back on the track, turned the van wall around. And that was the end of the race for the van wall from that point. They were in the pits for an hour. I do feel bad for them. They were in the pits for an hour.
Yeah.
And they really did try to get to to get to the finish. But the car was the car had a broken exhaust, it had a broken airbox, and was severely down on power. And it was just the walking wounded for the van wall. So that was it was never really gonna make any.
It wasn't going to recover.
Yeah. It was never going. No, it was never going to recover. So then the other notable point of the race, the Ferraris nearly taking each other out.
Yeah, they went door to door, didn't they?
Well, one of them got pushed off the track, didn't they?
Yeah, I didn't get to that, but that might very well be.
What? So the 50, I think the 50 pushed the 51 car off the track, and then he actually went off the road and through the gravel. And yeah, before the steward said anything, he gave the position back to his teammate and then overtook him in the next corner anyway. But it was quite. But then they went wheel to wheel again. The people in the Ferrari garage did not look best pleased, shall we say. But that was entertaining. The Porsche of Yiffy Ye, that looked quick. I did have written down in my notes, well, my very brief notes of the race. Antonio Felix da Costa, he was on one at the weekend.
He was fast.
He was fast. He's got a point. That boy's got a point to prove.
Yeah.
I might be making two and two might make ten here, but I think the plot might thicken or might be deeper than we think it is for just him getting dropped.
Yeah, like we said in the last podcast, it might not all be voluntarily that he is out of the hypercar, the Jota hypercar, or the Porsche hypercar. What am I saying? The Porsche LMDH. Might not all be voluntarily.
I don't think so.
No, me neither.
I don't think so. So it'd be interesting to see if he's proved his point, and because he was fast. He was fast, and he, you know, out of all the drivers in the field, he was probably the driver of the day for me. The other day, so yeah, see what happens there.
Yep.
The Porsche. I was reading something earlier on, interestingly, about how the Ferrari is obviously notorious for its tyres being hard on its tyres, and it has been throughout the season.
And
it actually looked fairly light on its tyres, and it looked probably the most consistent car on track over the double stint, which is complete opposite to how it's looked for the rest of the season. It looked in sort of the window of the Toyota and the Cadillac. It looked good, so I don't know. Maybe they've been, rather than developing the car, maybe they've been working on the drivability of the car,
which is a good thing to do in their case. If you're running to the BOP anyways, so development wise, there might not be a lot to win from improvements.
It wasn't
being able to run a stint longer. That might very well be a good strategy.
Well, it wasn't fast around Bahrain. The car was slow in qualifying. It qualified behind the Cadillac. It wasn't fast. And I think the whole strategy for their race had to be to optimise the tyre life. It was the only car in hypercar not to use the medium tyres during the race.
Were they?
Yeah, they optimised their strategy for the hard tyre.
Okay.
So, could explain a bit of why the car was slower. But the slower car, able to go longer. It was an interesting dynamic. So, see if that's going to pay dividends next year with the new tyre compounds. And they were also looking fairly racy or fairly quick in the tyre test. So I think the window of the Ferrari is quite narrow.
Yeah.
Compared to the Porsche and compared to the Toyota, which I think is its downfall. But you know, the one that mattered, they won the one that mattered, and it, you know, they made it quick on the.
Do you think that's because of Porsche and Toyota both have a lot of prototype experience? In contrast to Ferrari, who only has GTE experience in endurance racing.
No, I mean you got to remember Ferrari's got a lot of experience of F1 as well. A prototype car is an F1 car with some wheel covers on at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So I don't think and the people that they've used at Ferrari are very clever people, and they know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. I still believe, although Ferrari have said it's not the case, I honestly believe that the cost cap in Formula One has forced Ferrari down the avenue of hypercar. And I do believe that the people who had to be laid off from the Formula One team are the hypercar team, with a bit of people from a sports car background.
Might very well be, yeah.
I do believe that.
Sounds logical, yeah.
Peugeot?
How did Peugeot perform?
I was going to come to Porsche next, because Porsche.
Oh, Porsche first. Okay, do Porsche first.
Overwhelmingly disappointing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was overwhelmingly disappointing.
Is that a thing in English as well, that they couldn't make a fist against Cadillac, Ferrari, and Toyota?
They couldn't. They couldn't. It was almost competitive. You got to remember, none of the Porsches had the opportunity throughout the race to finish on the podium, and especially the Jota. Well, Antonio Felix da Costa was a man on a mission. I think the best Porsche was fourth place, fourth, fifth, sixth, and then I think Peugeot was seventh and eighth. Yeah. And I think that the Porsche Jota was the one in fourth. So, yeah, they need to get to grips on. I think the Porsche is obviously an LMDH car rather than a hypercar.
Yep.
They talk about these converging.
It is
this convergence of classes with the IMSA class, but I do think they've got a lot of work to do. I think the car is optimised for American circuits. You can see in America it's fast. It's quicker than the Cadillac on just about every single circuit in America. It can't put the speed into its race trim. So I think they need to work on that. It's almost there. It's so almost there, but yeah. It's still got a little bit to go. Yeah. Maybe they just need to get to grips with it.
What do you think is the main difference then between the American circuits and the circuits in the WEC calendar?
Well, the American circuits are FIA grade A, are they? The American circuits are old
A
school.
A or B?
A.
And the other circuits on the WEC calendar are?
I believe they are all grade A, yeah. You've got Fuji, you've got Bahrain grade A, you've got Spa grade A. So all of them are grade A.
But the American tracks can all be grade A, right? I can't imagine that tracks like Virginia Raceway and what else? That they're all grade A tracks.
No, that's what I'm saying, Rick.
They're not.
They're not grade A.
Yep.
Yeah, they're not.
Yeah, that might. So it might be a. Do you remember Sebring? How were they at Sebring?
The Porsches.
Mm-hmm.
It was Sebring.
The first race.
Sebring was
a bit
of a difficult one, because it was the first race. So, I mean, if you remember at Sebring, the Porsche crashed in the lead, didn't it, at the end? The Porsche crashed with the Acura at the end, was it?
Yeah, but that was in the IMSA.
That was in the IMSA.
Yeah.
And supposedly the cars are the same performance in IMSA and IMSA and WEC. So, yeah. Next year, I think they've got the winter to develop the car. They've got the winter to make it fast out the box at the beginning of next season. So let's see what happens. I mean, you've got to remember this season. Amazingly, believe it or not, Rick, Porsche picked up just 2 podiums in the WEC.
Yeah, but if you
they've had 3 cars running for all season.
That Toyota was the team to beat with a couple of years' experience, 2 cars, and they would, if they didn't fall apart, then they were going to finish on the podium.
I don't think it's an excuse.
With 2 fingers in the nose.
I don't.
And then there's only 1 spot left. And then if you have a Ferrari that's on outright pace, maybe even better than the Toyota, and you're new to the series, you have a new car. I think 2 podiums over 7 races.
How many podiums have Cadillac had?
I think.
I don't know. I don't think they've had any.
Who finished third? I think they didn't have any.
I think that's possibly a bad example. But you know, bear in mind all of the.
Peugeot had 1, and they already had a year of experience.
Cadillac finished on the podium at Monza, didn't they? Behind the
No, Peugeot did.
Okay.
Peugeot finished on the podium at Monza. I don't think Cadillac had any podium finishes in WEC this season. But let's cut this out and then check. So you said...
Okay, so
they finished third at Le Mans, of course.
Yes, they finished third at Le Mans, Rick, and we didn't pause the recording there to Google it whatsoever. So thanks for that, Rick.
No.
Thanks for confirming. No. Third at Le Mans.
No, credits to you.
The important one. So, yes, I think Porsche have had 2 podiums with 4 cars. Well, 4 cars for half the season. Cadillac have had 1 podium with 1 car, so...
The most important race of the season.
In the most important race of the season, so you know, go figure. They've got to get on top of that car over the winter.
Yep.
Peugeot. Well, actually, no. Let's come to Peugeot afterwards because we have a lot to talk about with Peugeot. Cadillac. It was a bit of a quiet race for Cadillac. I think it's a weird one, Cadillac, because that car is. That car and the Acura is the best car in IMSA, without question.
Yep.
It's the best car in IMSA.
Yep.
In the WEC, it's just there. I don't know. Again, it's a new car. They might be able to get on top of it next year. Let's see.
And they had a great qualifying result. It was their best qualifying result up till now. 3rd P3, and they're also thrown back. With the shunt in the first lap, so I think they're on the they're coming there, they're getting there.
Would you call it a successful season for them? I think
a first with a podium at Le Mans. I think they've proven that they were the fastest of the LMDH cars. So I think they beat Porsche with only 1 car in the field.
They did.
Whilst Porsche started with 3 and then had, started with 2 and then had 3 in Portimao and 4 since
Monza. Yep.
I think they did really good.
Bear in mind they've got 1 car. They scored, or they've had 1 car for most of the season. I think they had 2 at Sebring. I think they had 2
and
at Le Mans.
Spa.
2 at Spa, 2 at Sebring, and 2 at Le Mans. They scored 79 points for the season compared to Porsche's This is the manufacturer results compared to Porsche's 99 points. So two less cars, three 20 less points. But at the end of in the last four races of the season, the last three races of the season, they did only score 9 points, whereas Porsche scored 44 points. So
yeah, they got a lot of points at Le Mans, of course.
I think it's something that can certainly take a lot of positives from this season. Sadly, sadly they've got, like every team, they've got a lot of work to do on the off season. And let's see how they come back next season. I do believe they've got a second car next year. So
they confirmed that it will remain one entry. They're not gonna feel the second one in WEC.
Right. Okay. Well.
So it's gonna keep it at one.
So Peugeot then. I think they admitted, well, they stated over the weekend it's taking and read into this what you will, significant upgrade of its 9X8 for next season. Now, it was a disappointing result at Bahrain. It was very disappointing. They need to get on top of that car. Reports suggest that it's going to have a wing for next season. It's not going to rely.
Yeah, I think it's the best kept secret of the paddock that they need to add a rear wing to the car.
Why do they need to though? If their concept is clearly ground effect, it doesn't need a wing. It doesn't need a wing, but yeah, it's an odd one, Peugeot. They really do need to. They really do need to get on top of that. They did say the boss of Peugeot is, I can't remember his name. Is it Hugues de Chernac, the boss of Peugeot, or whoever's leading that program now? They did say the balance of performance can't work magic on the 9X8 across the range of circuits. So it was in the mix at Le Mans. It was in the mix at Monza, and then the last two races, it's gone backwards. It's been, it's been a contender for LMP.
It has problems with bumpy tracks because the ground effect is difficult to manage when you have a car that breaks from the ground and loses its downforce when it does. Even though Bahrain is pretty flat, there are a couple of significant bumps in the track, perhaps some crucial places, I don't know. But you have the same problem, of course, when you go over curbstones. And curbstones in Bahrain are pretty flat. They're good to take. And if a ground effect car goes over curbstones, then you can imagine there is space created underneath which breaks the ground effect. So I think that lowers your corner speed and thereby your lap time. I'm not sure. I'm not technical enough to really know what's going on. But that'd be my guess.
Yeah. I think it's also it struggles in the slow speed corners. Does the Peugeot?
Yep, and there are a lot in Bahrain.
There are quite a few slow speed corners.
Four, two hairpins. Yep.
So I think
definitely.
I mean, the centre of balancing on a ground effect car isn't consistent. You've seen it from Formula One, you've seen it from the Peugeot. And obviously, the Formula One boys get on top of it a lot better than Peugeot. So, I think expect to see some form of rear wing on that car next season. It needs it.
Yeah, it needs it.
It needs it. So, watch this space. LMP2, so just moving on. Van Wall, like we say, it was a noble effort from Van Wall. You know, fair play to them. They could have easily thrown in the towel, but no, they kept that car going.
Yeah.
And the fact that they attended the test, I know we said on the last podcast that we were fairly certain and we'd bet our mortgages on the fact that they're not returning next year. The fact that they attended the test and the fact that they didn't throw the towel in, maybe they have other plans.
Maybe. And I've heard voices that the car has been confirmed for the first four races of the season, because the teams now have 6 weeks to prepare for the next race until they have to hand over cars to ship them already to, what is it, Qatar?
Qatar, yeah.
So they have 6 weeks to prepare, which is simply a too short notice to change anything. So it appears that the car has been confirmed for the first four races of next season, but I can't really say this for sure. It's just rumors.
Well,
I didn't have this confirmed.
Fair play to them. LMP2, not a great deal happened in LMP2. WRT won the fourth race in the row.
Yeah, the only thing we can say, I think, is that the championship winning car was the one that should win. They started 10th, I think, drove to the front, won the race. So I think they're not much to discuss about whether they're the rightful champions.
And he's all but confirmed for Jota next year, isn't he?
Sorry, who? Yeah, I missed you for a sec.
Kubica is all but Robert Kubica is all but confirmed for a ride at Jota next year, isn't he?
I'm actually not sure, but it might be. Yeah, it would be a good choice. Yeah. If they're gonna feel the second car, so.
Yeah. I was reading something earlier that said that Jota hasn't made any secret of that Robert Kubica is one of the drivers that it wants. There's been linked with a lineup of Button, Kubica, and
Vettel.
Apparently, negotiations are moving towards a climax, according to Sam Hignett. So let's see what happens next season.
Because if I be Vettel, I might wait a season until the Aston Martin appears on the grid.
Yeah, I think that ship probably sailed with Vettel. I think I think Vettel was a bit. Well, yeah, he retired with a year left to go on his contract, didn't he, Aston Martin? And I think he was maybe a bit, what's the word I'm looking for here, tired with the Aston Martin and the politics at Aston Martin surrounding Stroll Jr., the Wonder Boy.
So
I wouldn't be so sure that he's returning to Aston. I could be wrong. I could be way off the mark there, but I don't know.
Remember, everything's for sale.
Everything is for sale, 100%. But yeah, I'm just not buying that Vettel.
And it might be the same as that he just calculates his chances on with which car I can finish highest on the grid. Is that going to be the Jota Porsche? Can I win Le Mans with the Jota Porsche? Or am I confident enough that I can do that in Aston Martin if I wait a year?
I think he could win it in the Jota Porsche.
At Let this year, yeah.
Genuinely do think he could win it in the Jota Porsche. But let's see.
Yeah, we'll see. GTE,
it was quite a bittersweet weekend for Iron Lynx, wasn't it? Or the Iron Lynx, Iron Dames team. The Iron Lynx team retired, and the Iron Dames team won. And
they retired because one of the drivers was the bronze driver was actually ill, and he couldn't make the minimum driver time. So that's why they pulled the car from the race.
Interesting. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Because there was nothing wrong with the car, but the bronze driver couldn't make the minimum driving time.
Right. Interesting.
Yep.
Interesting.
So it was sad because it might have been a 1-2 for Iron Lynx if they could have continued the car.
And that car, of course, is heading to Proton, the Iron Lynx car. And
to Proton.
Yep. Proton have bought. Yep. Proton have bought the Iron Lynx car. And want to know? Well, I have another amazing fun fact. Would like to hear it.
Of course.
How many RSRs do you think Proton own?
They have a couple for ELMS, right?
Yep.
And they have a couple for WEC. So let's say, six. 16.
16
GTE Porsches. So they can run their own Cup Series. Which would actually be quite interesting. 16 GTE RSRs.
16 GTE RSRs. And they're supposed to be taking a group photo of all the cars and posting it on their socials at some point over the next few weeks, which I think is incredibly cool.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah, that would be cool to see them all together.
It's gonna look ace, yeah. It's gonna look ace. So yeah, that's on the socials in the next few days or days and weeks. Not really a lot else to say about the race.
No, it was the first win for a completely female driver lineup.
Yep.
Which was definitely newsworthy. It was well deserved as well. And I can't remember seeing a crew so happy on the podium as I did at Bahrain. It was nice to see. They were really happy. And Dorianne Pan, she celebrated underneath the podium with them. It was a good scene. It was nice.
How close did you
well
get?
Deserved.
How close did you get to the podium?
I was underneath, so on the, across. Yeah, where like the pit on pit wall. They actually have a sort of a small grandstand for the photographers to take their shots from.
Interesting. So you got right up close and personal then.
Yep. Yeah, you're just underneath the podium. It's like 10 meters away.
So, in terms of the pictures from Bahrain, then when are they all going to start going on? When are they all going to start going on the website? Have you started your editing yet?
I started the editing, so I expect them to be up somewhere this weekend. And there will be a full gallery of our best shots on the site. So yeah, keep an eye out on the website, and you'll definitely see them.
What's the website?
Don't forget, the website is, of course, prescottmotorsport.co.uk.
Yep.
And don't forget, our 2024 endurance calendars are on sale as well. So if you're still looking for a wall or a desk calendar, because this year we also have smaller calendars that you can put on your desk, head over to the shop on our site and have a look.
And how many of them? It's limited edition, isn't it?
It's limited, yeah. So we have a couple printed, and sales are actually going quite nice. So don't wait too long ordering them, and order them now, you'll receive before Christmas Day.
Tell everyone just how limited the limited edition is.
I actually have to apologize, saying that I don't know the exact numbers, because Adam is the one who has them printed, and I don't know exactly how much he had printed this year. So,
well, that's a disappointing answer, because I heard it was 30. That is how limited edition the limited edition is.
That was last year, I think. But they sell out every year, so. And you actually, it's means for us to keep the website and the podcast running, because everything costs money, and this is actually what we use to fund both the website and the podcast. So if you like to support us, please take a look at our calendar, and you might get something in return.
Thank you. Thanks for that plug, Rick.
We
don't get paid anything. We do it for the love of the sport.
Nope.
We do it for the love of the sport.
Definitely.
And the love of you guys,
To give you an insight, the software we use to both edit and upload the podcast, for example, of course, hosting costs for the website. It's not free to put something on Spotify. And other podcast platforms, so we all fund that ourselves, and we try to cover the costs by, for example, selling the calendars. So it's not that we make money out of the calendars. It's really to keep the website and the podcast going.
And we thank you for your support.
Definitely.
Bit of news then, Rick.
Yep. Looking forward to next season. Yep.
37 cars. They've confirmed the ceiling is 37 cars, which I'm a bit disappointed at that.
Yeah. It was higher at first, but that, and I learned that this was because in that case a couple of teams would have to share garages, and the organizers said that's not something that we want. It's also what a couple of teams didn't want. And then you're just limited to the amount of pit boxes on your bottleneck circuits. And those are Imola and Sebring, I believe.
That was
information I got from you.
Imola and Austin, nearly.
Imola and Austin. There are only 37 pit boxes available. So then you have a limit of a 37 car grid.
The Austin one's a bit of a strange one because, yeah, it's a big track. And I'm surprised that it does only... Because if you remember IMSA a couple of years ago at Austin, I was just looking at this a moment ago, they had a grid of 45 cars on the IMSA grid a couple of years ago.
Yeah, it might be that then for a couple of cars, maybe for privateers or something, they used the paddock behind the pit straight as a refueling area or something to save room. And because I think now, if I read correctly, that especially in Imola, the main limitation was that it was not possible to install more than 37 refueling rigs. And because every car has a different refueling system, you can't refuel two different cars with one refueling rig. And if you can only install 37, then you're limited to 37 cars.
Yeah, the F1 do that right, don't they?
I think. They're all the same.
Yeah, one pit box for each team.
Yep, and there are only 20 cars there, so.
So 37 cars, we think and we understand that the split of that 37 cars is going to be 19... LMDH cars and 18, if my maths is correct, LMGT3 cars.
Yep, it's 37 together, yeah.
So, 37 cars.
Yep.
We think The cars are going to be, as per the podcast last week, we know we're going to have two Porsches, which are Manthe
Porsches. Yeah.
We know we're going to have two Ford Mustangs run by Proton.
Mm-hmm.
We know we're going to have two Ferraris by AF Corsa. You're going to have to help me out here, Rick. I'm struggling.
Two Lexuses.
It's been a long day.
Two Lexuses. Run by ASP.
No Mercedes.
No. Two Chevrolets run by TF.
Two
Sport.
Chevys.
Two BMWs run by WRT.
Yep.
Two Aston Martins. No, they haven't been confirmed yet.
No, they haven't been confirmed. But they are likely to be run by ProDrive, and two Audis as well. And the Audis are run by, we did say this last week, and the name escapes me.
Santilog.
So that's, and then we know what the hypercar grid's going to be, don't we? We've got six Porsches, two from Proton, two from Penske, two from Jota.
Yep.
You've got two Toyotas, two Ferraris, two Lamborghinis. One Lamborghini.
One Cadillac.
One Cadillac, one Van Wall, two Peugeots.
And maybe an Isotta Francini.
Two Alpines. Two Isotta Francinis and two Alpines. And that's your 19. Yep. And possibly, well, that means there's not
going to be. And two BMWs. Don't forget the BMWs.
Okay. Interesting, because that takes up to 21.
Yeah, but I don't think the Van Wall and Isotta Fraschini have been confirmed. So we'll definitely, I'm really looking forward to the confirmation of the entry list for next season, because I'm really curious as to how it's going to look like.
I think there's going to be some upset people, do you?
I think so as well, yeah.
So,
It's hard to... There will be victims, I think. I can't imagine there aren't. Because there are just too many applicants.
I would agree. So a bit of fan news just to wind the review podcast down. Cairoli likely to drive the Lamborghini next year.
Good choice from Lamborghini.
Long time Porsche driver.
Yep.
Podcast favourite Dorian Pinn, the FIA's revelation of the year.
Yep.
Great choice. Yeah. And simpler balance of performance. I don't fully understand this, but I do agree the fact that everything does need simplifying, because it is a joke.
Yeah. Well, I still think that the BOP that was in place this year actually worked. I think that technically the cars are almost identical, and that the difference that we've seen in races boils down to two things. One is experience, and two is tire management. And tire management mostly relates to the Ferrari, because it was really hard on the tires. And experience, I think Toyota's won the championship based more on their experience than outright speed. I think it was a fast car, but I'm not sure if the Toyota was the fast car technically, the fastest car technically. I'm not entirely sure if that was the case, but yeah, because how is the BOP managed? It's managed with fuel flow, with electric power how do you call that? Electric power,
mega
when it
joules.
can kick in. What?
Yep, the amount of electrical energy you can use.
The amount and at what speed you can use it. So, for example, I believe the Peugeot can have its hybrid systems activate at 150 kilometers an hour, while the Ferrari and the Toyota can't deploy it before 190 kilometers an hour. And that's something that's managed with the BOP. Weight, of course, fuel flow. I think that's it, right?
Yeah, well, it's all computer managed.
Air
isn't
restrictor,
it?
Maybe, but not sure.
So it's all done by a computer now. It's not. It really is just. Yeah, just computer says yes or computer says no.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think next season we're on for a cracker. I do think next season we really are.
Yep.
On for a cracker. I'm looking forward to. Like you say, I'm looking forward to seeing the entry list. I think the entry list is due out. Is it due out end of November?
Yeah, I think there's a World Motorsport Council meeting somewhere by the end of November, and after that, it's. But I'm actually not sure. I think that's. I think early December is all we have to focus on.
Yeah, it's going to be. We'll. That's probably when the next time we'll have our podcast. I think we'll probably have a season review.
Season review, and then see if we can invite Steve and Adam.
we'll see if they are available. They are very busy men. Steve is finally home from getting lost in France.
Yeah. And we can investigate if we can find a special guest again.
We do need, yes, we must get a special guest on. That is, Rick, that is your task for the next 2 weeks, to find a special guest, the specialist of special guests.
Mm-hmm.
Adam's presence is good, but sadly not enough. We do need a special guest.
Yeah.
So yeah, we've got a couple of ideas who it could be.
I think we talked about everything we had to talk about.
We have talked about everything.
Do you have anything left?
We need to talk about
anything in your notes?
No, just a thank you to the 6 billion listeners that have persisted with us for this season, and we look forward to welcoming
first this podcast and then also this season.
Yes, there's been. We just have to. There's been some ironing out. There's been some. Been some good episodes. There's been some crap episodes. There's been some long-winded episodes. There's been some good guests. There's been some fun people we've had on.
We had great fun facts.
Fun facts. We've had some great fun facts, and yeah, I think there's been some very funny moments as well. It's been fun. We've enjoyed doing it, and we hope you guys have enjoyed listening too.
Yep. So, thank you, listeners.
Don't forget to check out the website.
Stay tuned for our season review, which we think is due after, if I have to guess, after the new entry list for next season is available, so that we can talk about that as well. And then have a nice review of this season. And I hope you tune in then.
Yes, thank you very much for listening, and yes, you guys, don't forget to check out the website, www.prescottmotorsport.co.uk. We will begin to update the website more, now we have some time on our hands. And yeah.
Don't forget to take a look at our calendars.
Don't forget the calendars, and of course, we do still support the Race Against Dementia charity, which... If you listen to previous episodes, and you have listened to previous episodes, you will know all about it. So, yeah, please help us support that charity.
And on that note, we leave you.
Oh, shit.
You forgot to press the record button.
No, I pressed record. I just don't know where.
Okay,
the...
good.
Oh, he's here. He's here, Rick. Right. Okay. We should probably just keep this bit in just for the comedy gold.
Yeah.
Thank you, listeners.
Yeah. I think our outro is better than the original one.